The following Compassion Radio broadcast featuring the Reverend Dr. Norm Nelson comes from our vast archives of program content. It was originally recorded in July of 2010.
Guns, bombs, war. These are the words that resound repeatedly from Afghanistan, Pakistan, and all the other stan countries of Central Asia. But there are other words that we need to hear that describe this region. Words like church growth, courageous Christians, and reconciliation. My friend, you're about to hear them.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. From the four corners of the globe come the stories of God's amazing triumphs. The mighty acts of God are happening in this day and time all around the world. And this is the Daily Ministry Broadcast Journal that tells you all about it. Today is part two of a special series we've titled God's Work in Central Asia. And with millions of people and dozens of languages, it's the largest corner of the world you probably know very little about. But God is at work there. And Norm's guest for these 2 days has seen it personally. He knows the people and the cultures very well and is active in the explosion of Christianity across the vast steppes of Asia. This is first century Christianity with a 21st century twist. Here's Norm to pick up where we left off yesterday.
Well, on yesterday's program, we presented part one of a two-part interview that I did with Wally Kulikoff, who is the Bible League's regional director for their ministry in Central Asia. That was a great interview. Central Asia, as you may now know, is the little-known region of the world that consists of Afghanistan, Pakistan, Kazakhstan, and all the other stan countries that we're now learning about in the context of the current political and military crisis. These places, which were once strongly influenced by Christianity, are now essentially Muslim countries. But Jesus Christ is powerfully at work in these countries by His Spirit. And we as Christians need to know that that's the real story that's taking place in these countries today. Christians must learn to perceive what's going on behind the secular news reports of guns, bombs, and the rhetoric of war. Well, that's what you're going to hear on part two of God at Work in Central Asia. Here's the conclusion of that interview. You know, Wally, we were talking earlier about the fact that Cher and I were in Kazakhstan and a part of an evangelistic effort there that involves the Korean church. And they, as you know, are seeking to win back all that Silk Road territory that was lost 1,000 years ago.
Amazing.
To win it all back to
Praise
Jesus Christ.
Lord. Praise the Lord.
And it was one of the most exciting things that we have ever seen. And, of course, because of our background with the Bible League now over a number of years, we are so interested to learn from you, someone from Kazakhstan, someone who knows this part of the world from the inside, just what God is doing in that critical and crucial part of the world today. Wally, would you mind telling us, are you encouraged by the signs that you see in Central Asia of people turning to Christ and the witness of the gospel getting out to those marvelous people there?
I am extremely encouraged. You know, as the Silk Road meetings were taking place in Almaty, it was days later, as soon as the Silk Trail finished, the Bible League was able to import into Kazakhstan 42,000 complete New Testaments and 17 books of the Old Testament. It's called Kili Kitab, Holy Book.
Oh,
Kili means holy and Kitab means book. Kili Kitab is the holy book. And they were printed in Japan, and we were able to bring them into the country. This will create a spiritual awakening, 42,000 complete New Testaments plus 17 books of the Old Testament.
Oh, that's marvelous.
It's not complete. Yeah. But we also were able to print within the country 100,000 chronological New Testaments.
Oh, really?
Within the country.
Yeah.
And that is a spiritual breakthrough. Well, I mean chronological because since they don't have the Old Testament, there should be some stories from the Old Testament for them to understand who is God, the concept of sin, the covenant that God has with the people, and the promise that he has given the people, and then the appearance of the Messiah or the Redeemer, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. So I am extremely encouraged that we were able to do this, and this will create a breakthrough in Kazakhstan.
Oh,
they've been waiting for this for 10 years.
Hmm.
God provided the funds. God provided the people to do the translation, and we're cooperating with the translators. They gave us the rights to print this, and we raised the funds, and now we're allowing the country to hear God talk to them in their own language.
That's marvelous.
And God has allowed us to do now children's booklets for Kyrgyzstan, for Kazakhstan, for Tajikistan. And children books are very vital because when we have children's clubs and they bring the children pictorial Bible home, the parents begin to read it.
Wally, that's just marvelous. I heard a story while we were in Central Asia about something that's happened in Kyrgyzstan, which is a neighboring nation to Kazakhstan.
Yes.
It had to do with the fact that when the Soviet Union basically released or gave up these countries as part of the Soviet Union and they became independent, they had no history, they had no background, no moral code. And that has a very practical effect when you stop and think about it. That's if you're going to be a country and you're going to sign contracts with businesses from other countries and
That's
so
right.
forth.
That's right.
How are you going to be able to conduct business if people are stealing, if people are not keeping their promises, not keeping their word, if they're not honoring contracts? You can't exist in the world of civilized nations without that. And the story that we heard was this, that there is a professor, a Christian man, in the university there in Bishkek in Kyrgyzstan, who had developed a course of basic ethics, basic morality, based on the book of Proverbs from the Old Testament. And in the course of this crisis of morality in Kyrgyzstan, the government approved that course from the book of Proverbs in the Bible to be taught to university students as a way of conveying to them a sense of morality.
Praise the Lord.
And
that's a breakthrough.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And this kind of thing, as we understand it, is happening all through this part of the world. So often we hear that Muslim people are totally unreceptive to the gospel. So why even make an effort to reach them for Christ? That's not true, is it?
No, that is not true. There is a void. No. There is a spiritual void. There is a hunger. Let me share with you one story. A church planter was in an area and he was to develop a small group Bible study. Our first module with the Bible League is evangelism and then get them into a small group Bible study. And he went from door to door in his apartment complex in a 10-story building and he knocked on the doors and invited people to his home. And he didn't know what the results would be, but there were people who came. And one day a lady came in and she was sad, depressed. And they opened the door and they invited her in. And this is her story. She says that a year ago, her husband left for Russia because he wanted to earn more money. And you could earn $100, $200 in Russia. And while as in, say, Tajikistan, if you could earn $60, that is a lot.
Yeah.
That is an awful lot. And so he left and he said he would be sending money. 6 months went by, she heard nothing. A year went by, she sold a refrigerator, she sold some chairs she had and some pictures to just to live. She had two children. And then she decided, well, I've got to meet these people who were studying, as she knew, the Holy Book. And so she walks into this study, and she sits down, and the people began studying the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. She says, I sat there and I realized when she was a girl, when she was hurt, when she was depressed, or someone said something to her, she would run to her father. When time was difficult for her, she would run to her father. And she said, there I sat and I realized there was a group of people who had a heavenly father. In the most difficult moments of their life, she said, they were there in the arms of their heavenly father and I had no one. She said, I had no one. My husband was gone. My two children were with me, and I was desperate.
Yeah.
And she said, I just sat there and tears just came down my eyes and people just looked at me. And she said, I started to write the prayer down. This was the first prayer in my life about a Heavenly Father.
My.
And she wrote the prayer down and she thanked the people after the Bible study. She said, this is what my soul longs for.
Hmm.
This is what I long for, she says. And then she said, I'll be back next week. Definitely, she said, I'll be back next week. This is what I long for. She came home. The children were asleep. In the morning, they woke up. She said, Mom, what is it to eat? Well, she looked around. She didn't have anything. She said, children, I've learned a prayer. Well, they didn't know. She's never prayed before. They didn't know what that meant. So she took her bag and she said, children, I'm going to the market and I'll be back. She takes her bag and she goes to the market, and the first vendor, the first person who is selling the products, she looks at him and their eyes meet. And the man looks at her and he says, lady, do you have any money? And confidently she says, no, I don't, but I do have a prayer. A prayer? He says, woman, I need money. I don't want a prayer. And then there was a pause. And then he rips a piece of paper and he says, lady, write your prayer down and I'll weigh it. So the lady takes a piece of paper. She writes something down. She folds it. She gives it to the man. While he picks up his scale, he drops the piece of paper at one end of the scale. And then he takes some potatoes and he puts it on this other end, and his eyes are glued to her eyes. And the scales don't fall. He takes a tomato, he takes a cucumber, and he puts it on the side of the scale. He shakes the scale, and the scales don't fall. He is totally at a loss. He doesn't know why this is happening. And then he takes some more, and he fills the scale up, and he says, woman, where's your bag? And he tips everything in the bag, and he said, go, lady, go. As the lady disappears into the crowd, he watches her. And then he takes the piece of paper, and he opens it up and he reads the words, our Father, give us this day our daily bread.
Oh, my.
As a person who've come into fellowship with a Heavenly Father who knew him and trusted him and believed him. And when the opportunity was given, God supplied the needs of his child.
Oh, my. What a story.
Jehovah Jireh, God provides. It's one of the names revealed to us in Scripture. It's also a living reality for those who truly need him. Call us today, 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And of course, you can reach us 24/7 at CompassionRadio.com. And now, back to the program.
Wally, this is a part of the world where it's not easy to be a Christian, to confess faith in Jesus Christ. There are instances of persecution. In fact, in some of the places in Central Asia, it is very dangerous to be a Christian. Do you have a story of persecution that you could tell us?
You know, let me tell you about our two Tajik church planters. In Tajikistan, there are lots of Islamic or Muslim missionaries also. Not only our own church planters who were trained, but Islam takes a village over or a town and they build a machet or a mosque, and then they have the mullah or the imam or the mufti or whatever you would call the term. And then sometimes, instead of persuading people to come to these mosques, they have two or three men who work with the mullah, and they have machine guns. And so they persuade people to go into the machets or the mosques by force many times. Two of our church planters went to a town that was already occupied by the Islamic radical group. They went to the first home and they prayed with the people and they talked to them and shared about Christ, Jesus Christ, or Isa Misach, Jesus the Messiah. They went to another home and they went to another home. And towards the afternoon, as they were leaving a home, two men with machine guns said, we've been watching you all day. We've had a towns meeting and the mullah would like to see you. And the people have gathered to pronounce judgment upon you. Well, the two church planters, they were quite surprised. And so they come in front of the mullah, in front of the townsfolk, and they're accused of heresy. They are accused of bringing a teaching to this town that the people do not want. And therefore, the accusation was, and the judgment was, stoning to death. But as they pronounced the judgment, they had never stoned anyone in the town.
Oh.
So they didn't know how to stone the person, and they were a little bit taken back. And then they said, well, it'll be via the machine guns. You will be executed with the machine guns. Well, where do we do this? And so they decided this should be done outside the town. So they take the two church planters and these two men with the machine guns, take them outside the town. And as they're walking, the men are praying. The wives don't know. The other people don't know. And they come to a field, and the two men said, do you have any last words? They said, yes, we'd like to pray. And so the first one begins to pray. They kneel down. They hold the Bibles to their chests. And one begins to pray. And I imagine he must have prayed a little longer than usual.
Yes.
And so he prayed. And as they held hands, the other church planter began to pray. And they finished praying. And there was that moment of truth to say amen and open the eyes. And they say amen. They open their eyes. And they see something that they had never expected. They saw these two men with machine guns running away. Running away from these two men. And instead of hearing the gunshots, there was absolute silence except for the footsteps of these people running. And they looked around. There was no one there. There was no one there to stop them. So they walked home.
Oh my
they
goodness.
Tell this story to their wives and to the other Christians, and they tell them of how they were nearly executed. And so, well, they praised the Lord that God had protected them, and then the curiosity got to them, and they said, we've got to go back. They go back to the town, and to their great amazement, they are met as heroes. And they said, well, what is the matter? When the people saw them, they greeted them, and they invited them like heroes. And the word had got around that these men could not execute these two missionaries or these two holy men because they had bodyguards.
Oh.
They had awesome, fearful, frightening bodyguards that these two men could not withstand. They were so fearful, they were so frightening that these two people ran away, and they all wanted to know what kind of bodyguards did they have. Well, the two church planters look at each other, not realizing.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what do you think? They said, we just believe that Jesus said, I will be with you even to the ends of the earth. He said he will never leave us nor forsake us. And today there's a story, or the people know, the two church planters, two missionaries that have their own personal angels. But that's wow. A story. If God did not intervene,
yeah,
these people would have been executed. And I know of church planters who've been beaten with hoses. I know of a church planter who had a Bible study in a home, and the people protested, and they thought there was some sectarian group, some occultic group, and they didn't quite understand what it was. They burnt the house down. They started to meet under a tree. They cut the tree down. But they still meet, and the church planter has been beaten, has been accused of heresy. But he tells them, you've killed one another. I'm teaching you not to kill. He said, you hate each other. I'm teaching you to love each other. He said, I'm trying to teach you what Isa Misach, Jesus the Messiah, has left us the teachings, and you do not want to accept.
Wow. Well, that is a marvelous story, Wally. And, of course, you and I know about a church of Korean believers in the capital city of Tajikistan, which just recently was blown up by three bombs. Many people killed.
That's right.
Hundreds injured. And this is the price that is sometimes paid by those who openly confess their faith in Jesus Christ in this part of the world. But it is winnable. And the message that you give us today is a message of hope, and it's a message to motivate us to learn as much as we can and to become involved. What can our listeners do to become involved and to support the kind of effort that you're talking about?
I think the very first thing they need to do is take a map out and take a look where this is. Have a look where this country is, and then find a city or a town and just mark it and begin to pray. Pray that God will put a hedge of protection around that area.
Well, you do wonderful work, and it's an honor to have you with us. Wally Kulikoff, Director of Ministry in Central Asia for the Bible League, our partner in getting the gospel to the world. Thank you so much for being with us, and God bless you as you continue your important work for
Thank
him.
You very much.
Well, my friend, we Christians must never assume that the news we hear on radio or television, or the news we read in magazines and newspapers, is all the news there is. Always, behind the headlines, God is at work carrying out his plan. And that's true of Afghanistan, Pakistan, and the rest of Central Asia today. His work must be our concern, and we can assist what God is doing as we pray and as we invest in his work in these places.
Sometimes it's hard for me to understand why we pull away from each other so easily, even though we're all walking the same road, yet we build dividing walls between our brothers and ourselves. But I don't care what label you may wear. If you believe in Jesus, you belong with me. The bond we share is all I care to see, and we'll change the world forever if you will join with me. Join and sing, sing, you're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will work until he comes. We will walk in side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand.
The day will come
when we will be as one, and with a mighty voice together we will
proclaim that Jesus is King. It will echo through the earth, shake the nations, and the world will see that you're my brother, you're my sister. So take me by the hand. Together we will work until he comes.
We Will Stand by the Continental Singers with guest soloist Wayne Watson. It's highlighted on a special Compassion Radio release titled Together We Will Stand. If you'd like to support Compassion Radio this month, just call with your gift today.
And this program, by the way, can certainly be categorized as a Compassion Radio classic from its first airing in July of 2010.
Friends, I wanted to personally give you a quick update. First of all, I want to thank every one of you who responded to our appeal to join our new Compassion Radio Vision Team. We know that you have 1,000 places where you can give each month, and that you chose us is humbling, and we're very grateful. Because of you and the many special one-time gifts this month, we're making progress on fulfilling every one of our obligations to our radio station and ministry project partners. We're praying that many more will take us up on the invitation this year. If we could find just another few hundred listeners, home fellowships, or churches to join us with a monthly gift of $10, $20, or even $100, we would accomplish every single ministry goal we set for 2017. And we'll keep bringing you amazing, inspiring, transformational stories of God's people doing amazing things in every corner of the world. Compassion Radio does what no one else does, and we help those who take the Great Commission seriously. So I'll ask you with all sincerity, would you join us? And would you do it today?
Give us a call at 1-800-868-8888. 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're always available to you 24/7 at CompassionRadio.com. I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll be back with you again tomorrow with more Compassion Radio.
Here's a special message for anyone who might be in the Los Angeles, Orange County area over Memorial Day weekend.
This is Cher Nelson of Compassion Radio, and I have a message for our listening friends. As you know, our speaker, Norm Nelson, just recently passed away. His memorial celebration will be held Sunday, May 28. We invite you to come join us for memories and a good old hymn sing, one of Norm's favorite things. Their service will be held at the Lutheran Church of the Cross, 24231 El Toro in Laguna Woods. A reception will follow, and Bram and I and the family would love to meet you. Call 1-800-868-2478 or call this station for more information. Again, our number is 800-868-2478. Please come.